Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've got a great guest with me. Her name's Angela Lang. She's the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing Community, also known as BLOC, here in Milwaukee. A self-styled progressive advocating for more rapid system change, Angela and I are trying to convene what I think is one of the more challenging political debates of the moment. Basically every day, and I don't care which newspaper you're picking up, which news magazine it is, or which talk show you're turning into, there is some version of how do Democrats unite to beat Trump and the MAGA movement? That is the question. And everybody seems to have some sort of different formulation and different answer. There are versions of appeal more strongly to the base. Don't talk about centrism and incremental change. Center economic issues, center working class issues, center economic inequality and inequity. Others say that we need to take on stronger positions like the genocide, if you call it that, in Gaza. By the way, don't think that's really debatable. That we need to take stronger stances and talk more meaningfully about police reform and what that looks like and rebuilding trust between community, not just in police, but institutions writ large. So all of this is on the table for Angela and I this afternoon, and also for each and every one of you. 855-752-4842. And Angela, right before the break, you kicked it off with two of the biggies, the war in Gaza and police reform. It's interesting when we look at the candidacy of Mr. Mamdani in New York City, those are the two number one areas of critique that you hear from more mainstream Democrats. Hakeem Jeffries has been hesitated to endorse Mr. Mamdani. Hat tipping to those two issues and some of Mr. Mamdani's languaging around those issues. These are challenging questions at some level, especially when you get beyond the is this right or is this wrong? There are longstanding laws of war that are comprised of various international treaties. There's no question if you talk to legal scholars that Israel has violated many of those in its engagement, including concepts like proportionality, that you use the least destructive means to achieve the end, all sorts of things. Of course, Hamas and other terrorist organizations aligned with Hamas have done just as bad, worse, over a lengthy period of time. So these are two of the issues that I think are very activating on the left and that are often used by the right to divide Democrats. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I think you saw some of the impacts of that in turnout and the engagement level of younger voters mm-hmm. in the 2024 cycle. Angela, let's take a couple calls. I want you to react to the callers, and then let's re-engage. But those are the contours of our discussion. Hop right on in. Water's warm. Angela and I want to hear from you. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Brian from Oguanago, say hi to Angela. What would you like to share?
Hi, Angela, and thanks for taking my call, both of you. I have two really simple yet really big ideas that could help the Democrats. Number one would be to please be more authentic, as in please stop talking down to us or condescending to us because we're not dumb. We, and basically the language of that's your politician language, where you get up, stand in front of a microphone, talk for 20 minutes, and you never say an actual thing. So that's number one. And then number two, please, please, please stop taking money from foreign entities, foreign governments, and please stop accepting policy written by foreign governments and foreign entities. And I think you both know what I'm referring to. And that's all those are my two big ideas. Thank you.
Thank you. They seem simple, right? Just be authentic. Get people to like you. That used to be how campaigns were run. And I, I'm not surprised that this is one of the first things that came up. And myself and good friend of mine, State Representative Francesca Hong, she had mentioned one time, and she was on a show, that there's this kind of elitism, right? And I remember the first times I really noticed it with the Democratic Party was actually a while ago when folks were knocking Scott Walker for not graduating and having his degree. Mm. And the way Dems jumped on it, it's just like, wait, hold on. There's a lot of Dems that actually don't have their college degree. Watch what you're trying to say, trying to make a jab at Walker, when there's people in your own base that also have that. Similar to how we talk about Donald Trump's felony convictions, the way people talk about felons. Oh, this felon is terrible, and being a felon is this, and that. More than just Donald Trump, this rich white man, are used with that label felon. And I think sometimes when folks are trying to take shots at these folks, they don't also realize that they're being condescending and undermining folks that also have felonies or convictions, because we know that the criminal justice system is inherently biased. So I think that there's some times where people just want to focus and take these shots at these individuals, but it does come across very elitist, not understanding that there's other people that are not just Scott Walker that don't have college degrees. So maybe knocking him on not having a college degree is actually doing more harm than good. And I thought that was like a tangible example of the first time I really saw that Democratic Party elitism.
Well, and being extremely transparent, having been adjacent to or explicitly within government, political actors, elected officials, judges, etc., what I can say to you as a freaking certainty was that I had many conversations with a whole wide network of people at different career, like, pivot points in my professional life. And I was told straight up in different ways, listen, you're never going to get hired by thus and such sort of think tank, or they'll never pick you up to run a representative's office or to run a senator's office because you did not attend an Ivy League university. Mm. And oh, by the way, Maggie, it doesn't matter that you're a lawyer and economist. The degrees aren't from the right place. And oh, by the way, Maggie, do you also know that Republicans will hire anybody that they think can do the job? Mm-hmm. And that I heard some of that going back to like the mid-2000s, that has been, and I think that whiff, stench, waft, I don't know, steaming pile of not just elitism in some form, but a particular brand of coastal elitism that didn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, look at where folks, look at somebody's staff, look at where they went to school, and you might get a drift. And that's not to knock people that went to those universities. They're incredibly bright. But it's just to say it's a stupid litmus test, because those people, those institutions don't have a monopoly on good, smart people that have good, smart ideas.
Yep.
Likewise, the barometer of a college degree.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think the thing that people wanted to talk about related to Scott Walker was career politician.
Right.
You talk about bootstraps, yet
you
dropped out. Oh, by the way, you cheated when you ran for student council, allegedly, at Marquette, and then dropped out. Like, it was more the sort of trying to point out the hypocrisy in many Republican positions without condemning large swaths of your own base.
Right. And I don't think that happened. that messaging kind of fell flat. And again, I saw it, after Trump's felony convictions, and thank goodness there was like some article where someone was like, hey, watch how you all talk about this, because, Trump is just a rich, older white guy, but there are cousins of ours, family members, loved ones that are also placed with the same label as felon. So what you say about him in terms of being a felon also reflects on my own family member. And I am kind of proud that people, I think, got that memo very quickly and kind of stopped using that language. And I was going to say, too, you know, in terms of the Harris campaign, I was very curious to see how they were going to talk about his convictions. Were they going to do the same thing where it kind of insults, you know, yes. voters? And it turns out, you know, they walked this very fine line of talking, you know, talking about the type of crime that he did, you know, and it wasn't the same type of stuff that we can identify with.
And then you start thinking about that, right, Angela? And you get into the, oh my gosh, have you now overscripted your candidate? Oh my gosh, are they stumbling around with it? Do they not
sound
like
they're just... And then no longer authentic.
Correct, right. They don't sound like a regular person, because would a regular person be like, ah, look at this guy?
Yeah.
These are, this is the stuff. This is what makes it difficult and challenging. Kurt from Madison, say hello to Angela. What do you have for us?
Hi, Angela. I think my spin on this is talking in a sense of just straightforward basics. Can we all agree that we want clean drinking water? Can we all agree we want air that we can breathe and not set off our asthma? Can we all agree that education should be affordable? Should we all agree that we should have health care that sustains us? I mean, if you were having people in a room, in an auditorium, and then I was standing up there with my dry erase marker and saying, okay, start throwing out things that are, you know, the top three things that are important to you. I think that, and I'm going to pick on Jeffries. He loves to talk with his hands and stuff. He comes off so condescending, and talk about talking down. It drives me nuts, and it just doesn't drive me nuts. It's a conversation with others that say the same thing. I can say that about many people on the Hill. But Democrats need to just stick with the basics and say, if you want clean water, then we need you to vote for us. Because this is our agenda, clean water, clean air, clean food, reasonable housing, reasonable education costs. I mean, that it's what they call, right? Everybody says it's what's talked about at the kitchen table. Well, then stick to the things that are talked at the kitchen table.
You know, Kurt's got his finger on something. I think Trump is absolutely brilliant in sort of the vagaries of policy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And nothing that Kurt said and nothing that Senator Larson said when he articulated what he wanted to see in the world and what we should be accomplishing with our state budget, not a single thing came out of his mouth that I disagree with.
Right.
My question was only, how do you know what was actually within the zone of possible in a given negotiation? You don't. Sure. That's the nature of negotiation. And at base, in a system that I think most of us agree has not been well as a two-party system, that's what you got. And it's like that is the challenge when you don't have full control. There's also, of course, the question is, if we do continue to see map improvements, what becomes possible, and how do we prioritize that? Angela, last thoughts. We got about 30 seconds left.
You know, I think a lot of the things that we just talked about that we all agree with, they're basic things, but there are some people that call them radical, and I think that is a problem. Asking for basic affordable housing should not be a radical thing.
Yeah. Angela Lang, ED of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. If you're enjoying this conversation, keep around, because we're going to pick it up with State Senator Dessler Alfheim at 5 o'clock. Coming up next, we talk about the announcement of Stacey Abrams for Idea Fest in Madison.